Thanks again for joining me here at PreachingTheGospelThatSaves.com. And thanks again for subscribing to my bookstore blog. Books not found in your so-called Christian bookstore. And that book would be So Many Versions by Saki Kubo and Walter F. Speck, 20th century English versions of the Bible. As we continue to go through the New English Bible, the NEB, the Greek text. In the third place, the NEB New Testament differs from the RSV in many passages in its underlying Greek text. The Greek MSS and early versions of the New Testament confront the translator with a variety of readings, and he must, in a given verse, choose either to follow one of the standard Greek editions or assume the role of textual critic and decide on his own which reading to follow. What if you don't follow it at all? C.H. Dodd states this point as follows. There is not at the present time any critical text, and the critical text is not the same as the majority text, which is your 1769 King James Bible, okay? The critical text is your Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, Westcott and Hort text of Roman Catholicism, okay? Nor has the time, this is not the present time, there is not at the present time any critical text which would command the same degree or general acceptance as the Revisers text did in its day. Nor has the time come in the judgment of competent scholars to construct such a text, since new material constantly comes to light and the debate continues. Who does the debate continue with? Is it Bible believers? Exactly. Scholars don't believe the Bible. Scholars don't believe the miracle of Jesus. Scholars don't believe the virgin birth. Scholars don't believe his death, burial, and resurrection. Scholars believe in evolution. I mean, it goes on with scholars. Why would you put scholarship against anything? The present translators, therefore, could do no other than consider variant readings on their merits, and having weighed the evidence for themselves, select for translation in each passage the reading which to the best of their judgment seemed most likely to represent what the author wrote. On the basis of this eclectic principle, the translators reconstructed the Greek text as they went along, and they don't even tell you. So that's how crazy it is. See, that's the difference between these translators today and that of your King James Bible translators. The King James Bible's translators compared every text that was out there and took the right text and put it into the King James Bible according to the other Bible verses. If they did not match up, they did not put it in the King James Bible. These people are just copying it from whatever Greek text. And then this one says that they're actually reconstructing it. So they're reconstructing whatever Greek text they're using according to meaning for meaning. Okay, not what the text actually says, but whatever they think it means. And then making their translation. And how many people were involved in this? You got it the first week. All those people agreed with how this was put together? These are the same people that agree with scholarship. These are the same people that believe the Greek and the Hebrew and the Textus Receptus is superior to all when none of them match any translation. But they won't tell you that. And so, right? Just like he says. And so the debate continues. There's only a debate when you do not believe your Bible, when you have no final authority. Then there's a debate. That's what I always say to people that come on my website or on my YouTube channel. If you are going to put something that is debatable, I will remove it. I'm not part of the debate. I am fully persuaded in my own mind that the 1769 King James Bible is God's perfect words without one error. It is perfect. It is preserved. And it's in an English copy. And you can read it. And you can understand it. And you can be fully persuaded in your own mind too. So thanks again for listening. More next week.